Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Local Business Network Hour. Local Business Network is in our 20th year, and our whole philosophy is really about helping people become better networkers, which allows them to become better business people, and really it's allowing communities and things to be built. LBN is located in both Texas and Michigan. Today you'll be joined by Al Crawford, along with co-host Chuck Gifford. Enjoy today's show. We'll bring Chuck on right now. Chuck,
hello,
are you there, buddy? Hey,
yes,
how are you, sir?
I am. I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm really good. I'm excellent. Just got back from training, and I'm always fired up when I get back from the classes, and just met a whole bunch of new people that are excited and really enjoyed the training and saw some amazing progress from those individuals. And it was interesting because I'd actually asked them, because we were talking about today's show, about having somebody on the show to kind of talk about. And what happened was they were all actually very, very new, and they weren't comfortable enough to be on the air. But one of the things, I'm not sure how you wanted to go with this, but one of the things I thought we could do would be, just as an example, kind of getting in a little more detail of what we were talking about, but who's in a couple of these different categories as far as the different fields of work that these people have, and given some ideas of the kind of strategies that we would suggest for somebody in those fields to be able to expand their sphere of influence within our organization. That was just something I thought about. Whatever direction you want to take it in, I'll support that as well.
Yeah, that would be fine. We could you tell me what category they're in, and we could chat a little bit about who would be ideal referral partners for them. And so let me is there anything else you wanted to talk about first?
No, I want to kind of get into this because I think there's a lot we can cover in this category. So I wanted to be able to go, kind of pull it over to you and let you, do your thing.
Okay. Very good. Well, a little background here. In our news notes, we have weekly news notes we send out to our LBN members. And a couple of weeks ago, we started talking about building ideal referral partner relationships. And what are some of the problems and pitfalls that you run into in that process, and what kind of suggestions we can give to people to help them get through those issues and build relationships, strong relationships with others in LBN who can be ideal referral partners and can send them on a regular basis referrals. So ultimately in LBN, there are two ways to promote your business and to garner new business for yourself. The first is to share information about your business with as many in LBN as you can, so that they will have the information they need to be able to look for a referral for you. And the second way is to find individuals who are ideally situated to generate referrals for you and to build relationships with those people so that you can share with each other referrals on a regular basis. And when I say on a regular basis, that might be as often as every week. It might be, a couple times a month, and it can be more. I mean, some people are able to send two or three referrals to each other literally every week. That kind of depends upon the relationship what business you're in, how often you deal with customers, and so on and so forth. But the ideal is to build a team of referral partners who will send you referrals on a regular basis. Excuse me, I had a cough there. Send you on a regular basis, send you referrals on a regular basis so that, someone to whom you can send referrals on a regular basis. So you have a relationship that extends over a long period of time. It's balanced, and both parties to that relationship are able to benefit in a very big way. So this second strategy of building referral partner relationships can be extremely powerful, and you know, that's really in LDN where we like to go. We'd like to help our members build strong relationships that generate referrals on a regular basis from here to, you know, the end of their career, essentially. So that's what we're trying to do. But it's not always that easy to develop those relationships. One of the first problems you face is identifying people that can be ideal referral partners. And then once you've done that, approach those people and begin building that relationship that's going to be so beneficial for both of you. And so in last week's news notes, we talked about identifying ideal referral partners. And in this week's news notes, we talked about how to approach these people. So let's kind of jump ahead and talk about how to approach them, and then we'll jump back and follow your suggestion and talk about who might be ideal referral partners for some of the people that were in your training today. By the way, anybody can do this. It's, you know, not just a few people. Everyone has some natural referral partners, and your task in LBN is to identify them, build a relationship with them, and begin sharing referrals and growing that relationship to the point where it's a natural process for you to support each other and generate new business for each other. So once you have identified the categories and have gone through the process of looking through LBN, our database, and we have our database on an intranet site so people can go there and look and see who is in business categories that would be beneficial to them. And so that's the way to go about that process of identifying the people that you want to approach. Once you've identified someone that you think might be a good referral partner for you, you need to approach them about becoming referral partners. And so what we recommend is to simply give them a call, let them know that you are an LBN member, what business category you're in, and then to suggest to them that because your customers come to you occasionally and ask for the services they provide, which you do not provide but are a natural follow-on to the services that you provide, you need someone to whom you can give those referrals. And basically, you would like that individual to be someone that would give referrals back to them. So you would like to meet with them for the purpose of talking about the possibility of developing this relationship and getting to know each other, basically getting to know each other first and then looking to see if there might be a possibility of developing an ideal referral partner relationship. So in essence, what you're doing is you're saying to this individual, hey, I have referrals to give to you, and I'd like to explore the possibility of building a relationship where I give those referrals to you and you give referrals back to me. And so it's really important for the other individual to understand why you're meeting and what it's all about. So that that the meeting can be focused on evaluating each other and then finding a step process to move forward to building a relationship that can provide huge benefits for the rest of your career. So with the understanding that that's the purpose of the meeting, then the individual is able to say, hey, yes, I'm excited about that opportunity and I'd like to build that relationship, or no, there's some reason that I can't, I can't do that. There's something in a current relationship in my own chapter, or there's a relationship with someone else that prevents me from being able to reciprocate or give referrals to you over a long period of time. So you both go into the meeting recognizing that the purpose here is to build a strong relationship and to evaluate each other. You don't have to always come out of that meeting with the decision that, yes, we're going to move forward. That's the ideal. But, the other person in the meeting has to show you that they are a responsible professional and that they are in a position to generate referrals for you and that they are willing to make that effort. How you talk to someone about setting up this meeting is really critical. You want to have an understanding. Hey, we're not having a one-on-one to sell each other our products or services. Our purpose is to evaluate the possibility of developing a referral partner relationship that we will then explore and expand and build on. So, That is the proper way to approach someone. If you just say, hey, I'd like to have a one-on-one meeting with you, what sometimes happens is that they come to that meeting with the idea that, hey, we're really talking about selling products and services to each other. Now, in LBN, because we train people in developing referral partner relationships, the person you're talking to is going to have an understanding of what you're talking about. They've been to our new member training. They know what a referral partner is. And, basically, if it's somebody that's not in LBN, they may not even understand what you mean when you say, let's become referral partners.
Right.
So because you're speaking with someone who is in LBN, you can assume that that understanding is there. Now, you can build a relationship, a referral partner relationship, with someone who's not in LBN, but then it's on your shoulders to explain to them what a referral partner is, why it's so beneficial, how you develop the relationship, and so on and so forth, because they have no understanding. They may have no understanding. Some do. But the possibility exists that they really don't understand what's going on. And then it's, in that case, it's really important. It's even more important that you identify the purpose of that meeting and talk about the ways in which you might be able to help each other and the need to evaluate each other and determine, hey, you're someone I could build a referral partner relationship with. Now, if you're talking to someone that seems to be sloppy in the way that they deal with their customers, any hint of dishonesty or inappropriate behavior, or if you don't feel 100% confident, then if you send someone to this individual, they're going to do a good professional job of providing them with the products and services they need. Then it's probably not somebody that you want to build a relationship with. And
right.
So you have to make that evaluation during that initial one-on-one meeting. And as I said, sometimes it may not work out. You may come to the conclusion, hey, I really wouldn't feel confident sending somebody to this individual, and therefore I'm not interested in building relationship with them?
Well, I think that, and kind of going back just a little bit on that, Chuck, is that I think for a lot of people, if they're new at networking, they don't even know what they're supposed to do in a one-on-one. And so a lot of times I'll have, you know, new people and I'll ask, you know, have you done a one-on-one before? And they'll say, yeah. And I'm like, well, what did you talk about? And what happens, because there's no structure, they talk about a lot of stuff, but not always about their businesses and not always how they can help each other. So I ask the question, you know, what was the strategy you guys had? You know, what are you guys doing to help each other? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, that's the whole point of, you know, for one-on-one, to see if you know them, if you can know them, like them, trust them, you know, those types of things. And they didn't even know that's what they were supposed to do. So I think one of the great things that you put into place in the beginning of LBN was what we call a referral partner profile sheet. So it's a document that, you know, each person is able to fill out prior to meeting with that potential referral partner, where they're actually able to put down very specific information of who their best customers are, who their, you know, all the different things about who they're, what they're about, what their business is about, and who their customers are about. And to me, to have that structure and sit down with somebody to be able to discuss that document changes the game entirely, so that you can truly identify that. And so I think that without that structure, it makes a one-on-one very difficult, if not impossible, because nobody really knows why they're there. And then the other thing you alluded to earlier was then you also have people that may try to sell you something. And that's the last thing you want to do in a one-on-one. So if you follow the LBN structure that's in place, where we actually teach you the proper etiquette of a one-on-one and kind of what you should expect and what you shouldn't expect and all of that, it makes it so that you can be so much more efficient with your time and you can be, you know, a lot better at building those relationships. Whereas if you're just doing it to go hang out, then that's not what this is about. In the class I had today, Chuck, one of the guys, he was brand new, and he had done a one-on-one with somebody, and the guy had asked him for the names of three people he could call and solicit. And I'm like, whoa, no, that's not the way this works. And I explained, you know, how the one-on-one is supposed to go, and what had happened was they were both new. Neither of them knew what they were supposed to do. And so he had an entirely different, because he had a horrible, to him it was a horrible experience. He was like, I don't even want to do one-on-ones anymore. And then when I explained to him the proper way to do it and kind of the rules and all of that, he was so excited about continuing to do them because he has a different view of what they're about and you know, how he can build his business. So, you know, so I really applaud you still on that, those documents, Chuck, because for people that are new or people who haven't had a good experience, that structure that's offered to our members and the training that we offer to show people how to use it, I think it really helps in going forward and developing these referral partner relationships.
Yeah, it's so important to go into these meetings with the attitude that this is an information sharing meeting. I'm not here to sell you, because if you do come in with that attitude, hey, I'm going to sell this guy whatever product and service I have, you're going to turn them off. They're right. Going to be, offended. They are going to feel that, hey, you know, if I send this guy somebody, he's just going to put the hard sell on him. And I, you know, that's not what I want. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone that I can send a customer to him, and I can feel confident that he's going to treat them honestly, fairly, respectfully, and not, you know, put on a hard sell. Actually, if that's what you're doing, if you're just looking to push your products and services, then what's going to happen is that others that you meet with are going to say, hey, you know, I don't enjoy this. I'm uncomfortable, and I don't want to send my friends to this guy and have him, you know, treat them the same way he's treating me. So that it really can be a turnoff, and it can kill a referral partner relationship right off the bat. So, but, you know, we understand sometimes that's how people have been trained. That, you know, right. That's what their sales trainer told them they have to do. They have to be pushy. They have to go after this guy, and they have to push, and close that deal right here, right now. And that's not what we're trying to do in this one-on-one meeting with a potential referral partner. We want to explore the other individual's products, services, attitudes, how they treat customers, et cetera, and feel comfortable that if you send somebody to them, they're going to treat them honestly, fairly, with respect. So following the normal pattern of trying to close the deal as quickly as possible can backfire on you, and people will not want to meet with you, and they will not want to send referrals to you. So it can really backfire.
And I think that another thing that you made reference to is that, you know, you see somebody in a professional setting of a meeting. When you take them out of that environment and you have them in a different space, you can also, because I pay attention to how they interact. I remember having a one-on-one with somebody, and we were at a restaurant having coffee, and the person was incredibly rude to the waitress. Horrible. Like, I was embarrassed. And so to me, it was a total, like, there's no way I'm going to send somebody to this person, because although they were very nice and professional to me, butting the head off of somebody else, it was like, that's not okay. And it was totally unjustified. And I was like, wow. Because I'm like, if that's my mom that I'm sending to you, is that how you're going to talk to her? You know, so it's one of those things that you really kind of have to just be aware and you know, kind of pay attention to all the different things that, you know, that the person's about too, as they should be doing for you.
Right, absolutely. So maybe we should talk about some of those people that were in the class and who might be good referral partners for them, how to go about the process of identifying those people. But okay. I wanted to let you know I have to leave at about 2:30. I'm going to take my cell phone with me, but I have to go over and pick up my grandson from elementary school. And once he gets in the car, I'm not sure that we will be able to continue the conversation. So we may have to wrap up about 2:45 or 2:50.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay.
It's not a problem.
So I just want to let you know ahead of time that's coming up.
Okay.
I'm
going to tell you
hear some background.
Just part of it, and I think you're going to be excited in what kind of transpired all of this, and kind of was my reason for the direction I wanted to go with this segment. So for our audience, one of the things that we have in LBN is what we call senior support chapter. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to create an environment for businesses that cater to the elderly. And so it was something that Chuck and I brainstormed about several years ago. The chapters were launched, and we have one that is just, it's become a machine, and it's kind of like everything that we envisioned it would be. And to watch this thing blossom and grow and become the powerhouse that it is, has been really, really, really cool. And so what happened was, as they've added new people, they've really encouraged people to come to training. And so what happens is that, so the people that came to the trainings from those chapters in the last 2 days, and this is, Chucker, I think this is, you're going to be excited, because I think that somebody's listening, they're going to say, oh, it's a realtor. Oh, that's easy. Well, I'm going to throw some stuff out there that's not going to be easy, because this is, I think, is the challenge that some people will have. The first one is a business that it does home health care and hospice. So hospice, you know, for people listening, for most people think that's it. You know, you're going to die, you go to hospice. And it can't be further from the truth. So that's our first person. Second one, it's a lady who's a jeweler, but what her niche is she does appraisals of jewelry, and some really cool stories that she was able to share. And so somebody's saying, well, why would that person be in a senior chapter? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So that was the appraisal. Then we had, let's see, where was it? A lady who does, who works for the Irvine Neuro Rehabilitation. And so what they do is they deal with people with closed head injuries. And so that's kind of where, so whichever one you want to pick, Chuck, if you want to do something different, that's fine. But I think each of these create an entirely different realm of opportunities. So I would say, I'm just going to pick one. And I'm going to pick the lady who does the rehabilitation.
Head injuries.
Head injuries, right.
Yes.
So, what happened as we were, as she's sharing, kind of her story, and it's part of what we do in our training, is that we encourage people to tell stories about, because closed head injury, okay, I don't really understand what's that got to do with anything. Well, the reality is that goes across all generations. There's crazy different things that these guys can do. And she shared a story about a lady who was in her mid-50s. She got hit while riding her bike and basically sustained a severe closed-headed wound, was basically just being cared for by family members. And they had actually inserted a feeding tube, and the lady was basically starving to death. And so it was going to happen. She was going to starve to death. Well, they found out about this center, and the lady, they started caring for this lady, and within a year, she was actually totally functional again. And so she shared the story of this lady who was basically a vegetable on a feeding tube. And through the rehabilitation that their center offers, that this lady is walking, talking, feeding herself, and is back to being who she used to be for the most part. And so that's the kind of story to me that's so inspirational. And so what happens is that what we've created for, a business like this is we've created a safe haven because we're surrounding her with other businesses that cater to the elderly. But it's way bigger than just her group because it opens up a whole nother segment of people that she can give and get business to. And when I said that to her, she didn't believe me. And as we started talking about it, it kind of opened her eyes to those different things. So I know this has got your head churning already, Chuck. So I wanted to kind of throw it back over to you so you could start kind of doing some of the stuff that you would do with somebody like this.
Well, yes, that's a pretty specialized area, so it's entirely probable her best referral partners could be in other chapters. So you definitely want to look at the people within the chapter and see where there are possibilities to work together there. But you also want to think about who is in other LBN chapters and what they do and whether they might be good referral partners. Now, neurosurgeons are obviously going to be people who are going to come across these cases and be able to refer them to her. We do not have any neurosurgeons in LBN, but often cases are referred to neurosurgeons from chiropractors. And we have, probably up there in Michigan, about a dozen chiropractors in various chapters. And so chiropractors are going to be individuals who have customers that have been in accidents of various types, and if someone that's a customer of theirs has a head injury or has an accident, is in a situation where they are suffering from a head injury, they will know about it. Their customers will contact them. Their customers also might hear of others who have problems, and they figure because it's skeletal nature has something to do with the backbone and spine or the loss of use of a limb or something, we'll hear about situations of that type and call the chiropractor, possibly not to see if they can take care of it, but to see if they can know somebody they can be referred to that could take care of it. So chiropractors would be, I think, a possible source of business for this company. So I would go through the LBN database, identify the chiropractors, find some that are particularly close to the senior services chapter, and give them a call and see if they might be able to help someone of this sort, or if they have relationships with neurosurgeons that they might be able to introduce to her. So those chiropractors might be the middleman in terms of connecting this person with someone who could be an excellent referral partner for her. So then I also kind of take a look at the people in the chapter, and I'm having to leave my computer at the moment and go pick up my grandson. So I those who deal perhaps with home care.
You're breaking up a little bit, Chuck.
I'm sorry, what?
You're breaking up a little bit. So I'm just gonna throw my while you're getting organized there. I'm just gonna do what I kind of, and that's what I love about these conversations, is because we see similar things, but there's some other things that we can come up with. And one of the things that I saw was attorneys. To have the person who was in the personal injury attorney, this is a person who's on the front line. That person has been, he's representing that person, and their care is going to be, hopefully one of the big priorities. And to have that as an opportunity for their clients, I think would be a huge asset, for them to be able to offer. So if they have somebody, because I remember a few years ago, where we actually had somebody who an LBN who had gotten rear-ended in their car and actually suffered a closed-head injury, and it became a huge issue, for this person. And I know that actually one of the attorneys of LBN actually represented her and took care of it, but there was nothing like this available for her. And I think about how much different could her life have been if this was something she would have known about. So to me, it's something that attorneys should absolutely, know who she is and what she does. And I think it could be a great resource for her.
Absolutely. A personal injury attorney would be ideal. Would be an ideal referral partner for her. So those attorneys would be connected with other attorneys in similar lines of work. And so the opportunity for them to introduce other attorneys, personal injury attorneys to her would be tremendous. So you're absolutely correct. Can you hear me?
So Beth, yeah, you sound great, Chuck. I can hear you fine. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes, I can.
Okay. So those are just a couple of options, just something from the top of the stuff that we're thinking about. And I had shared some of that with her last night, and she was, because she didn't really understand when we talk about the cross-chapter networking opportunities and explaining how our internet site works and the number of different people that she was going to be able to communicate with was something that on the surface sounded so niche and so specialized that it was like, how many opportunities are going to be there? But as you can see, just from a couple of different things that we've offered multiple people, that this lady actually has the ability to be able to grow her business with and build her brand and and to do those different things. So, Chuck, I'm going to go with another one that is still from that chapter, and I wanted to share her story too because I think it's a story worth telling. So the lady does jewelry appraisal, and what happened was, just as most people do when they first give their 60 seconds, they kind of give a 20,000 foot view of their company, and nobody really understands what they actually do. But as I go into the training and we start talking about the stories and things to tell, she shared a story where she was a lady had inherited jewelry. So she got her mother's collection of jewelry. So basically she got a box of jewelry, had no idea what any of it was, and basically had divided it into three piles. One was keep, one was donate, and one was get appraised and sell it. Okay. And so what the lady said, she goes, "Would you mind if I look at all of it?" And the lady's like, "Sure, go ahead." Well, in the trash pile, she actually found a necklace that was a Tiffany necklace that was worth $5,800.
Wow.
That she was going to throw away. She was going to throw it away. And she ended up finding a $15,000 pair of earrings in there. And so what happened was, again, on the surface where you're saying, okay, somebody does jewelry appraisal, how can they grow their business? So I had some very specific ideas that I shared with her. So you want me to go first this time, Chuck, or you want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the first thing that I suggested to her, and fortunately they already have one in their chapter, was somebody who does estate sales. So when you have an estate sale, you're basically trusting somebody to sell the different items, but they're typically not experts on jewelry. And I remember when we did my mom's estate sale, they really had nothing to do with the jewelry. They basically, we just took the jewelry and that was kind of the end of it. But in some situations, people want to sell everything. And this would be a way that, they could actually truly find out what things were worth. And although she does not buy or sell jewelry, she has connections and actually has jewelers and different people that can in some situations buy them, but at least put a true value on what this stuff is worth. So that was one of the, like, oh my God, she's like never thought of that. But when we talk about why would people get jewelry, there can be different things. There can be somebody who maybe gets divorced. Somebody dies, a loved one dies, and they have the jewelry. And they truly don't know what's in it. And so the other thing that I was talking about would be, a divorce attorney. If there's assets being built, being divvied up, how do you truly know what stuff is worth? Because it's been accumulated through the years, and it's a way to truly find out what stuff is worth, because I don't think it's a normal thing. And so that was another one of the things that I thought of, somebody who does like assisted living. So if you have a loved one that's going to be, it's going to assisted living, they're typically not going to take the jewelry with them or they're not going to have it out there. What are they going to do with it? Well, if it's just in a box, who knows, but to be able to evaluate that and to be able to truly find out for, the family and the heirs and stuff, what they have, and then they can determine, what they want to do with this stuff or not. So those are a couple things that I had, Chuck. So over your side.
Yeah, just to pick up on the assisted living a little bit, frequently those bills on a monthly basis can be $3,000 to $5,000. And
mm-hmm.
So the family often is scrambling to find money to meet those monthly payments. And, having someone come in, I assume she does a free appraisal. But even if she doesn't, have her come in, take a look at the jewelry, and perhaps you'll find $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 that you didn't know was there. And so it would be helpful for people who are managing assisted living facilities to have access to this woman so that she can say, your mom has, several boxes of jewelry here. We don't know what it is. There may be something there of great value worth thousands of dollars. and she can come in, take a look at this, and see if there might be some help for you folks in terms of meeting those monthly payments. So it becomes a tool for, you know, the manager of an assisted living facility to find the money that's needed to afford those monthly payments. And therefore, you know, it's a tremendous benefit to the assisted living facility, because they may get a client that might otherwise say, hey, no, I can't afford it. So,
okay, good.
Yeah, assisted living is one that I thought of and as well. But, you know, practically anyone that's dealing with seniors, elderly folks, who might have trouble meeting bills and so on, anybody that's providing services to them, it would be valuable to know about this lady's services, to share it, because, again, there may be something that will help with the bills and keep that person in their home or pay for that assisted living if necessary. So, yeah. Anybody in her chapter, the Senior Support Services chapter, might at some point in time have a client that would need those services.
Right, absolutely. So it was a great pick for her, I think, to be a part of that group. So I was really happy about that. And then I'm going to do one more, Chuck, that I know you're probably going to have to escape pretty soon. But again, it's explaining how people come into this and what their views are. So we had a guy come in, and his business was home health care and hospice. So in his first conversation, in the same 60 second, he talked about somebody, you know, having knee replacement surgery and having rehab, and then talking about hospice. And so as we go into the kind of helping them along, is I was like, I don't think you should ever have hospice and knee replacement in the same situation. Those are two totally different things, man. Because if your knee replacement is leading to hospice, you've probably got to go a different way. And so what we ended up finding out was that it is a rehab facility. So they can do somebody who has knee replacement that needs to rehab all the way up to end-of-life hospice. And so we kind of went on that journey on the variety of different people that would fit into that category. And so instead of it being the focus of end-of-life type of thing, it was far, far, far from that. And so as we were talking about that, again, we looked at the people within his chapter that were going to be, you know, great resources for him. But the other things that, you know, that I looked at as well, and you mentioned it earlier, the chiropractor, the massage therapist, the person who's they're seeing these people maybe before they get too bad or not, you know, bad enough, to be able to recommend, you know, these different types of services. And ultimately, I think I'm gonna before I say any more, go ahead, because I know you got to go pretty soon. So I want you to throw your two cents.
I'm sorry, I missed that, Al.
I just wanted you to go say your part. Where you would have taken this guy?
Okay. Well, I would definitely, talk to others who are dealing with seniors. And by the way, you know, we have senior support services chapters, but we also have other individuals who are in other chapters that may provide services to seniors. So, first step would be to look through our database of members and identify anyone that is providing services to seniors. No matter what chapter that they're in. Now, this individual is going to be meeting with the senior services chapter every 2 weeks. But they are also, he also has the opportunity to reach out to people in other chapters. So first step would be to go through the database, identify people who are providing services for seniors. And, you can search the database by business category, so you can look for those categories that are senior services related, and you know, contact them directly. So that's, you know, a great way to go about looking for people for him. So that's where I would put my primary focus. And you know, frequently as you're searching through that database, a category will pop up that you hadn't thought of before, and you know, you recognize, oh yeah, this could be a great referral partner. So, you know, you make the contact. So it can, in looking through those in the database that you know would be good referral partners, you may stumble upon some others who you didn't think of initially, but when you think about what they do, certainly they, you know, would be good referral partners. So essentially what you're doing is you're really searching through and looking for people who serve the same types of clients that this individual serves. And if they're dealing with seniors in any way, shape, or form, then they might be, you know, good contacts. And then also, of course, you have the chiropractors and the other medical professionals that are in LBN, and they may have a client that's in that situation. They may not be able to send a referral a week. I mean, they may not, you know, run across the specific situation that they're looking for every week. But if you've got 12 of them out there and one of them send you a referral every month, one of the 12, then, you know, you've got a steady flow of referrals that can be tremendously helpful to you.
All right. So I know you got to get going, Chuck, but what I was going to do is, again, you can step out anytime you want, but what I wanted to do, because I know I kind of focused it today on the senior chapters, and there's so much more that we bring to the table, but I just really wanted, because I had three people from that group in the class in the last 2 days, just for our audience that's listening, what would a senior chapter look like? And so I'm just going to go through the business types, and like I said, Chuck, if you need to step away, that's totally cool.
Okay.
So in this chapter, basically we start out, we have a lady who specializes in business law and healthcare law, an audiologist. Then we have an estate sale person, Peggy at Poof. I've actually used them. They're incredible. A financial planner. Again, a really important piece for, you know, for the elderly. Then we've talked about this one already, traumatic brain injury rehab. Then we have skilled nursing and custom home care. And then also hospice. So again, it's kind of that transition from the beginning of care to the end of care. And then group and life insurance, property and casualty insurance, mortgages, somebody who specializes in senior type mortgages, like reverse mortgages and things like that, that are really unique and really niche-y, you know, for people. We have a realtor in this chapter who's actually certified as a senior. It's a certification they can actually get. They specialize in dealing with elderly people. So that they're incredibly patient and nurturing and things. So it's really, really cool to watch them in action. Then we have non-medical home care, and then assisted living memory care, and then another person who does placement advisor. And I used that when I had to place my mom in assisted living. I actually used their services and actually recommended the facility I was able to, you know, put my mom in. And so this chapter has been an amazing thing for my family already, and why I'm such a huge fan, you know, of that group and the things that they do. So going forward, we're going to offer more examples and get into more detail. We were a little limited in time today, so I thought we'd just kind of keep it, you know, keep it a little simpler and focus on this group. Are you still there, Chuck?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay. So we'll wrap it up. I know, like I said, you have your other stuff you have to do with your grandson and stuff. So any final thing you want to close with today?
No, just, you know, building these referral partner relationships can literally change your business. And, you know, we have members who have built teams of 10, 12 referral partners who basically put them in a position where they are getting referrals on a regular basis every week. And it's a situation where you pick up the phone and the guy says, hey, got this person, this is their situation. I've already pre-qualified them. They need your services. They've said that they want to talk to you. So when you go in, you're walking in as an individual that's coming in to help them solve their problem, not as a salesperson. So it completely changes the paradigm, the sales paradigm. It's not all about you trying to sell your products or services to them. It's really them learning what you do and identifying exactly what it is that they want so you can fine-tune what you're providing to their needs. And, you're instead of cold calling and getting a 3% return on your efforts, you're probably going to be up in the 80s or high 70s in terms of closure. And so it's just such a wonderful way to do your business. So
absolutely,
and that's why we're really looking for that sort of thing. Have to go. Grandson's on the way here.
All right. Okay, no problem. Have a great day.
Take care. Have a great week.
Okay.
Bye,
okay,
everybody.
Thanks, buddy. Bye. So that's kind of the idea of what you know LBN is to all the people that are a part of it. And so I guess the statement I'll close with is that if you're currently networking, if you're in a networking group, and if you're not getting the return on the investment that you expect, give it a try and let's see what we can do for you. We'll tune off until next week. As always, God bless America. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Hello, Liam.